Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. The Third Pick Podcast. It's been a while. This is episode 39. First part of the year, man. First part of the new year.
Yeah.
So we all were already damn near done with this month. It was the 20th as we were recording this. And
hell yeah.
You'll be listening to this on Monday, so that will be the 23rd that you'll be playing this. But
yeah,
it's just you guys, Scott Mariano here for the 2023. Here to talk about a little Bulls basketball. See, the last time left off talking to y'all, I looked back at the day. It was December 9th, so a lot of shit has happened.
Man, them boys made us look like fools, man.
I mean, they played actually better than I thought they would play. You know, it's not saying a lot, but they've been playing a lot better than I thought.
That's actually horrible.
On the last episode, but
yeah,
you know, but. We're gonna get into all that, man. You know, follow me on Twitter at Barbershare Scott. Follow the Barbershare Network at Barbershare Net on Twitter and Instagram. Our regular Twitter is back up and running.
Yes.
Bitch ass Elon tried to hold us back, but we got it back and running. Shout out to everybody who did follow the backup account
for
the 3-week time period. But I'm glad we got that account back. Follow us on Instagram at Barbershare Net. Subscribe to Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. Visit the bcnet.com. Mariano, let them know to get tuned with you.
Man, same as usual, man. At Mariano on Twitter, 2 N's, 2 O's. Christmas just passed a little while ago, so I'm still telling your aunt no. You know what I mean? Bought a lot of gifts and shit like that. On Instagram, at Mariano Bivens, man, we out here. You know what I mean? Like you said, we back in the building. First part of the year. You know what I mean? It's way past the Larry David date of saying Happy New Year and shit. So yeah, we ain't going to say Happy New Year. This is just the first part of the year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're about 2 weeks from the Larry David cutoff from when you say Happy New Year. But I feel like this is the first, I say the beginning of January so far where I've like, hop right into work so quickly, like I've damn near forgotten about the fucking holidays already. Like,
Man, yeah, that shit felt like it was forever ago. Like,
yeah, it does.
It felt like it was mad long ago when you think about it, bro. It's like you said, it's not even the 25th of this month.
Yeah, it's not even the 25th of this month yet. But it also feels like January's been long as fuck at the same time. Like, I feel like I got back to LA a couple weeks ago and I just hit the ground running. But I actually kicked off the new year in your hometown of Detroit, Michigan.
I spent New Year's. Shout out to the city.
Detroit.
Yeah.
Shout out to the city. Shout out to Detroit, man. Always got love for Detroit. My auntie has been a resident of Detroit for my auntie and my uncle for about 20 years now. About 20 years. Yeah, they moved out there like around 03. So you know, I did the last Bears road game of the year, Bears Lions. So I only upside, I was just mad all the Coney's was closed when I got out of the game, like, because it was New Year's Eve.
Oh, man.
Everything closed early. New Year's Eve, New Year's Day.
That's the worst, dog. The worst, dog. Coney is the best shit ever still to this day to me. Like, I miss it so much, dog. I miss my family and my friends and all that shit. But, man, Coney, whew, I need it. I'm trying to plan a trip to go back up there, like, in a couple months. I'm trying to go around my birthday or something like that. So, I need it.
I haven't had Coney's in a minute. But, like, we got there. Me and my brother drove in on New Year's Eve, and we got there like 8 p.m. So like everything was closed. We got some pizza. I drank some cheap ass champagne, enjoyed the night by watching King Queens, and of course I watched also that whatever football championship, whatever football games on, over college football games on. And then the next day after, and the thing people forget about when we cover these games, like we be there all fucking day. Like we got the Ford Field at about 10 a.m. Not 10 a.m., about 11 a.m. It was a 1 p.m. game. So about 11 a.m. And we didn't leave out to like 6 because, you know, we got to do the post game, on field video, do the podcast. So by the time we get out, it's early. We went to 3 counties, man. We went to 3 different counties. And on the internet, it said it was open, but we went to all three of them shits. It was not open. So I think a nigga had McDonald's that night. So nothing else open. But I always enjoyed my time.
Damn. Enjoying that. So it'd be like that.
Yeah, and there's a lot more stuff to do downtown. I've seen a lot more restaurants popping up around there.
Oh yeah, bars. Yeah, hell so, yeah. Yeah, yeah, they doing their thing, man. Downtown is definitely like the place to be. I mean, you know, when we was younger and shit, we ain't know no better. We was downtown regardless. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't matter. But these days, it's like legitimately a reason to be down there. So, yeah. Shout out to the city, man. Love the city.
Shout out to the D, man, always. But we are here to talk about some Chicago Bulls basketball, man. Let's talk about, you know, really what's happened over the last, I guess you want to say, month, man. Really, I think, like, this happened like a couple days after we recorded our last episode, where I feel like the Bulls kind of hit rock bottom, where they gave up 150 points on the road to Minnesota without Karl-Anthony Towns. Very nasty business. And then we heard about the Shams article, and of course Joe Cowley from the Sun-Times actually said that, you know, the locker room pretty much pulled Zach's card and told him, like, yo, you know what I'm saying, you get your fucking shit together, you playing like shit. And after that, which I say bullying works, the Bulls have actually been pretty good. They are 10-5 in their last 15. Since that incident in Minnesota, they've had wins over teams.
Yeah.
The Nets, the Warriors, like really all the contender names, which is actually the exact opposite of last season. And we'll get into that in a minute. But the Bulls have been playing, like, I feel like, for the most part, a solid brand of basketball with all three of the guys. Now, of course, that kind of fell off a little bit when DeMar got injured, but DeMar came back in the Paris game the other day. But I really, and this is, like I said, the bar is in hell when we're talking about this team right now. This is a team that is
absolutely
21-24. They are the 10th seed in the Eastern Conference, which means they are a 5 final play-in spot. If the season ended today, they will be playing a play-in game
disgusting
against the Indiana Pacers right now, which I would pick them to lose that game if Tyrese Haliburton is healthy. But, and this just tell you is how bad, not just the East, but really, I feel like the NBA in general has a lot of mid right now. They're up a full 2 games on the 11th seed, who is the Toronto Raptors. But as we said in our last episode, you know, if you want to be optimistic, they're only like 3 games behind of being in the actual top 6. So that just tells you just how
crazy
how much mediocrity is in the NBA right now in general. But what's your thoughts on the Bulls' play since that little incident in Minnesota?
I think that they should be calling Zach a hoe before every game now. Like, I genuinely think that they need to be in his face before every game. Like, whether they saying it or whether they saying, hey, you know niggas saying you pussy, right? Like, you know how niggas do that, try to gas you up, whatever. Do that. Do something. Because since that game, and since everybody was ready to blow everything up, you know, me included, they've been playing like they give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I can't speak for how they play against teams that, like, they're supposed to beat. But, you know, against just, you know, like you said, the brand of basketball they've been playing, I like to see it. I mean, sometimes you need that kind of shit, bro. Like, and the thing is, you put enough men together in any type of setting, bro. I don't care if it's the NBA, NFL, or a warehouse job, bro. There's going to be some arguments. There's going to be some, you know, we getting into it or whatever. And when you're on that level and everybody's making all that kind of money, a lot of shit comes into play. And it's like, bro, it's time to win. Like, niggas don't, you know, we know you just got paid, bro, but what's up? You know what I mean? Like, you got to, we got to see it. We got to see what's up. And I don't think it's a problem with challenging him. You know what I mean? He stepped up to the challenge. He been doing his thing. He went off for the 40 piece the once. I mean, so I like it. Like, he's bullying works. Yo, he's been saying this shit. He's been saying this shit work, man. Like, it is what it is. But that game in Minnesota was like, there was no excuse, bro. $150?
$150. Man. To a team missing. I guess you still say Conley. Is Conley Towns still the best player, or is it Anthony Edwards now? I think that's a legitimate question. Right now. I think I'd probably still give a slight edge to Cat. Right now,
I may give the edge to Cat because he's been around longer. Yeah, just because he's the vet or whatever. But I think that, like, Hooper, give me Ann Edwards. Yeah, give me Ann Edwards. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
For sure. I mean, but, you know, I think it's, you know, with this Bulls team, man, I think what you're seeing is also we're gonna get into you know, I actually didn't put that on the rundown, but I'm just gonna bring it up now with Lonzo Ball. The Bulls have to make a decision with Lonzo Ball, because as we hear, like, he's doing some activity, but he's really not. He's not going to play this year. Let's just cut the shit. He's not gonna.
No, play yeah, let's get that out of our mind right now. Yeah,
like at the bare minimum, if he plays next year, and we don't even know if he's gonna play next year. Who fucking knows at this point? It will be at the earliest year and a half as gone by since the last time we will see him if he does play in next season. It's officially been a year since the first surgery. At the time, we were supposed to only be 6 to 8 weeks, and he's supposed to be back around the same time that Caruso came back last year, and the same time that Patrick Williams came back last year. Now he's been around the team. You know, he even went to the Paris trip this past week. I mean, but I feel bad for Lonzo. But the thing about this team, and that's why, like, it's kind of tough for Bulls fans and just really us too, is like, this the team, like, is they don't have their motor right now, you know. And Lonzo Ball shouldn't be that important to this team, but he is, because he makes everybody else's job better. He instantly becomes their best three-point shooter when he's playing. He's one of their best defenders. He sets the offense up. Then you don't have all these sloppy possessions. And I also don't think we have situations where it's like DeMar's going 1-on-5, or, you know, Zach is turning the ball over late in games because you have your ball handler in Lonzo Ball. Having said all of that, like all the reasons we just mentioned, AK got to do something. I don't know what the fuck he got to do. Yeah. I mean, I think IO's been solid this year. I think he's taking a step back from last year, if I have to be honest with it. But I feel like, you know, and Goran Dragic's been cool too, but I feel like they need a legitimate point guard. If Lonzo's not going to come back, he is the engine of this team, man. And I just feel like what we're seeing this year is not the team that AK put together. You know what I'm saying? This was not the vision he had in mind when he went out there and basically tampered to get Lonzo Ball. So what's your thoughts on Lonzo, you know, in that whole situation? Really, we're here still a year later, and he's still not really moving around.
I mean, I do think that – we do have to, I guess, like, kind of cut a little slack to all of the guys, like, starting with Zach and everybody else, the front office and all of that, because nobody foreseen this. Like, you know, Lonzo getting hurt and being out this long, he was a part of our, like, this was it. You know, had we had him healthy this whole time, I think we're having a very different conversation about the Bulls for these last 2 years. You know what I mean? So I do think we need to do something. I just don't know what we can do right now. Like, we a couple weeks away from the deadline. I think our best chance is probably to make something happen this summer, to be honest. Like, I don't really see a move to be made that doesn't involve, like, Vooch or somebody like that to make, you know what I mean, to make, like, a splash or something like that. Unless the niggas know something I don't know. I just don't know. I feel like all the teams, like you said, it's a lot of mid in the NBA. So I think everybody's kind of holding on to the shit that they think is valuable, because they like, all right, well, we got a chance because everybody mid, so we not really trying to sell. You know what I mean? Like, unless you a team that's looking to get rid of your stars and, you know, bring some picks or whatever the fuck. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think
I don't know. Upcoming, I mean, I know the Lakers probably looking to move on and shit, but I don't know. They're going to want somebody. Like, the niggas going to want somebody.
I mean, the thing is with the NBA in general with this trade, I think this trade deadline is going to be interesting because of the play-in. I don't think we're even going to start hearing, like, rumors or anything until about February 1st when it's like, you know, a week until the actual trade deadline, because everybody's still technically in it. Like, if you look at both conferences, like, there's not a big gap from, like, especially in the West. The West is like, there's no, like, the Sacramento Kings are number 3 seed right now, and they've been playing great, but there's not.
Bro, listen, I had to look at that shit 10 times. Yeah, to make sure I wasn't tripping, dog. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I thought it was 0-2 again or something, dog. Like, this shit is crazy.
And so, like, everybody, I think, is going to be on pause because we don't know who's going to say, okay, we'll go after, you know, we'll try to make the playoffs, try to make the play-in, or who's going to be like, yo, fuck it. We're going to tank the rest of the season and try to get Victor Wembanyama. So I really think it's going to be something that is going to be something we have to monitor. And I was going to, since I had it later on the rundown, since we're talking about trade deadline, I think, like, I don't even know realistically what's a move the Bulls can make. Like, what assets do you have?
Man,
that you could get a realistic return for. I mean, Kobe has been playing solid so far, but, like, you're not going to get much for him. You know what I'm saying?
Not really. You get a rotational player at best, like, absolute best, you'll get somebody like that. Because even the Spurs, I was looking, what's your man, Jakob Poeltl?
Yeah, they want,
like, they asking for a haul for him. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it's like there are moves out there that we could make, but I don't think there are any smart moves we can make. We could do something just for the sake of doing it. We could trade somebody for the sake of just shaking the roster up this close to the, you know, that little playoff stretch or that play-in stretch, whatever. But I just don't think it make much sense. Like, nobody is.
What trade is going to take you over the top against Boston or against a Milwaukee, a healthy Milwaukee. And I know we beat the Nets a couple times this year, but in the playoffs, we're not beating the Nets. Like
not a, yeah, the seven game series. I don't like this roster against any of the top teams.
Like Cleveland will smack us up. Philly, you know, we ain't beat Philly in the Embiid era. Period. Like with him actually on the court,
with him on the floor. I was just about to say
we beat them a couple weeks ago, but he wasn't playing. So,
and that still didn't even feel good to me though. I like, you know, I'm glad to get the win, but I was like, motherfucker, like
I would have liked to be them one time, you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, even the Knicks are playing a fun kind of basketball at times, like you know, Julius Randle, Brunson. Yeah, I love RJ Barrett. Like even the Knicks, I don't know, dog.
I feel like every team after Philly is just like, okay, they're cool. Like even with the Knicks, they can't win at home. You know what I'm saying? Like, when the playoffs come, you know what you're getting from Julius Randle. Like, they're not going to do anything. They're not winning around. So, it's like they're all kind of the same.
I think the Heat probably going to get it together sooner than later. I mean, it's the Heat. You know what I mean? Like, this is – they kind of – that team, I think, is just a playoff. They be bored in the regular season, it feels like, dog. They get to the playoffs, and the motherfuckers be – they be scrappy as hell, dog. Like, I just don't – I don't see us getting, like, to another gear. So, I definitely don't think that this is the time to shake it up and trade somebody just for the sake of doing it. So – yeah, it's kind of like
I think you're gonna have to ride this out and then evaluate in the offseason, see what you're gonna do
in the summer. That's our best bet.
DeMar's gonna be looking for a contract. You figure out what you're gonna do, man. And that leads me to the next thing with Zach, because Zach is your quote unquote franchise player. And I say quote unquote because he's franchise player in max contract only.
In salary,
You know what I'm saying? I don't look at Zach as a franchise cornerstone, I guess you want to say. I think DeMar is the best player on this team. I think if you have absolutely any doubt about that, you haven't been watching this team. Zach just has the better offensive skill set that he doesn't use properly. Now he has been complaining, but really he's been in the media talking about he should be getting the ball more at the end of games. And we talk about this all the time, but what's your view on Zach? Not only what he thinks about he should get the ball in, his performance when he does have the ball in the game.
Yeah. So I went to the Hawks game a couple weeks ago. You know, the Bulls came down here and played the Hawks or whatever. And Zach completely – he does this thing where he checks out when he's in his feelings or whatever, like on the court. And I don't know if that comes from, like, a couple trips down the court. He might, you know, miss a shot or coach might say something to him, whatever it is. But he checks out and he has this way of just standing around somewhere around mid-court or like top of the key or whatever with his hands on his hips while the action is going on. And I hate it. I hate it so much because I'm like, yo, bro, go get the ball. They're going to give you the ball. Like you can be the best player on the court any given night. Go get the ball. But he'll just stand there, point his finger, hands on his hips, like fucking Spike Lee or something. I'm like, yo, bro, like what are you doing? So the whole thing about him saying he needs to get the ball or, you know, this, that, and the third, go get it. Go get the ball. But when you do have the ball, drop to the rim. Stop settling for these threes, bro. Like, stop shooting jumpers. You're bailing the defense out. The defense, their wet dream is Zach LaVine pulling up for jumpers late in the game, bro. They want you to do that. They can't stop you from going to the rim. I've seen it. You can watch the game. You see it in person. You can see it. They cannot stop you. They're going to foul you, bro. They're going to. So when he does get the ball in those late game situations, I would love for Zach to be the closer, but I trust DeMar way more in those situations. And even in that Hawks game, you see who the ball went to? DeMar. He went to the line, cashed all three free throws. He wasn't scared of the moment, bro. Nah, I need that. Give me those. I don't see that from Zach a lot, and I feel like, you know, part of that is his fault. I love Zach, but part of that is his fault, bro. He got to, you know, take accountability. You want to take that check, you got to take the accountability that comes with it, because that's the true makings of a superstar franchise player. You're going to get the big contract. You're going to get the respect. But are you going – what you going to do in those moments? Yeah. You know what I mean? And he just – I don't know, man. It's too many times he check out for me. I don't
– I think it's 100% his fault. I think it's 100% his fault. We want to be 100% real about it. It's 100% his fault. Like, you know, he has the talent. I don't think DeMar is one of those guys who's like, fuck that nigga, I'm shooting this. No, I believe if Zach was actually aggressive enough to get the fucking basketball, DeMar would defer to him to get the
basketball. I think DeMar wants that. So DeMar, I think DeMar like, wants that. Yeah. Here, take the ball. Like, and then, if you're not going to shoot it, I'm going to do it.
Exactly. And I think Billy Donovan will call more plays for Zach if he can trust Zach. Like you just talking about who the superstar right. player is, a star player, a franchise guy. You're going to get the ball. Fuck asking for the ball. You're going to get, you're going to go for the ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not comparing them to these two because obviously these two are way better players than them. But you think Kobe asked for the ball? You think Michael Jordan asked for the ball? No, they don't. You go get the fucking ball.
You're going to give me because you know what time it is. Exactly. I'm going to go get the ball. And your team and those guys' teammates wanted to give them the ball. Like if you ever look at them niggas, bro, they be where is okay? Here go Mike. Here you go. Get out of his way. With Zach, it's like, man, shit.
In that same Philly game we talking about, this is the game we hit like 11 threes. He's basically begging for the ball. Niggas looking at him like, I don't know. You know, like
bro, what you about to do with it? Like, and that's the thing. Like, they got to be able to trust you, bro, because we still trying to win a game at the end of the day. It's not about just stroking your ego and giving you the ball so you can put the attempts up. It's not just about that. It's about we want to win the game. So if DeMar got the hot hand, give the ball to him. But if you want the ball, get it. But he does this shit in the first and second quarter, bro. He'll just be standing up there with his hands on his hips. And I'm like, yo, dog, there should never be a time in the game unless you're standing on the side waiting to rebound a free throw. That you got your hands on your hips, bro. What
are you doing that when he yelling at the referees about refs,
too? Bro, he and see, and he's getting a little, he acting a little too light skinned for my liking. I don't like it. It's the same reason why I don't really fuck with Trae Young like that. You know, that's another story for another podcast, but I just don't really like that shit, bro. Like, just get back on the other end, like play. Like, play, bro. Just I don't know, dog. Zach, he gotta come on. Because when he's on. That motherfucker is electric.
When he's on, he's on. But also, it's like number one thing that annoys me about Zach is when he does get the ball. His basketball IQ late in games just doesn't make any damn sense. He's like Russell Westbrook like. Like, how many times in the last really in Russ's entire career, but especially the last two seasons here in Los Angeles, have you watched the end of a Laker game? You see Russ, you like, what the fuck is he doing?
Bro, he pulled up. They was up one, I think, with like 28 seconds or something left in the game. They was up one. He pulled up for a jumper, and I was like, yo, Russ, like,
or when he tried to go head to head with Embiid the other night, thinking that shit was gonna work. You know what I'm saying? And Zach does shit like that. He'll turn the ball over. He'll shoot an ill-advised three. And that type of stuff is like, that's why you don't get the ball in the games, man. So I just need to see Zach just be better because he has the talent. And now you have the money, and you're going to have the people going off on you on the radio and things like that.
Yeah, you're going to get the criticism, bro.
Exactly. It's Chicago, man. Like, bro, we love our sports. We might not treat you like Philly do, but we up there. Like, we are not nice when motherfuckers is not playing up to potential. And I think he's seen that a little bit this year. Yeah. I do think the last couple games he's been playing extremely better.
Absolutely. But
I still need better fourth quarter.
We need this to not be news. That's what we need. Like, the way that we're talking about this right now, like, oh, man, Zach, these last couple games, we need for this to be a regular walk in the park, bro. And again, like, not to compare him to somebody else, but, like, Giannis – you think Bucks fans are like going crazy when he scores 35 on 60% shooting and got 10 assists and 14 boards? No, it's just a regular day at the office. Like, you see Giannis last night. Yeah, he was with Zach. It's like, oh man, he was aggressive last night. Like, oh, this we need that shit to not be news anymore, bro. Like, you know, all of these dudes, and I'm not saying like, you know, he said this or whatever, but like all this mama mentality shit, they don't know what that shit really takes. They just know the result. All they know is the result. All they know is the five rings and the legacy and the accolades. They don't know that, like, they hated him doing this thing. Like,
my brother brought up that point, like, maybe a week or two ago on Twitter. He said that, you know, people got to stop bring up mom mentality like it's just like a cool Instagram or Twitter phrase. Like, this is a lifestyle this man living.
Like, honestly, it's vibes. Like, oh, vibes. Like, nigga, no. That man honestly was a psycho. Like,
right, and that's the thing I was going to get at. Regular people can't even adapt to that because honestly, to be that level, I think if you're real dedicated, like I think I have a little mama mentality in myself. I think you have a little mama mentality in yourself, but I'm not full blown Kobe because Kobe was like, you know, I have friends, nigga. Like, you know, Kobe is like Derek Fisher was one of Kobe's best friends on a basketball team, and Derek Fisher's on record saying he's never been to this nigga's house. Dang. So like, it's a different level that regular people just can't give.
That nigga Carmelo Anthony said, nigga, I saw Kobe and was like, hey, bro, I ain't getting up that early. And yeah, that's exactly the difference. That's the difference.
Exactly.
So I mean, you know, I just want Zach. Again, we love Zach. I tell y'all all the time, dog, Zach is damn near my favorite player in basketball. I love watching this man play basketball. I do. but he pisses me off so much because I care. If I didn't give a fuck, I wouldn't care. But I care, bro. I want to see him prove me right. When I tell people, like, man, niggas can't really fuck with Zach, bro. He go out there and do some bullshit, and I'm just like, man, now I got to be quiet. Now I got to be quiet for 2 weeks now. Like, okay, cool.
It's like, Zach is like your little cousin who has all the potential in the world, and this nigga want to go out there and be Big Meech and shit. And like,
and you like, bro, come on, man.
You're like, stop it, bro. What are you
doing? Run a 4-2. Why you playing? Why you doing this?
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I'm saying? What's up?
That's exactly what Zach is, man. So we need more from Zach. But speaking of needing more, we need more from the board. We're talking about standings and things like that. Remember the thing last season, what was so annoying about this team? They could never beat the contenders. Not only were they not beating the contenders, they were getting their asses.
They was getting beat by 40 and shit.
They was getting like, their asses. Now, these niggas is beating all the contenders. I think the only quote-unquote contender they haven't beat this shit is Cleveland. And I think that's just a bad matchup situation.
Yeah, it's a terrible matchup. Cleveland is too – they're too tall, bro. Like, they're them motherfuckers is different. Yeah.
But these niggas have beaten the Celtics 3 out of 4 times. Yep. Should have low-key swept their ass.
Yeah, absolutely.
They didn't beat Brooklyn both times. They didn't beat Milwaukee like 2 or 3 times.
Scraping Milwaukee.
A couple weeks ago, they were down. They were down 14 points.
And came back and looked like champions, bro.
45 left. I'm about to turn the game off. And I turned the game off, went to watch Southside. And I went on Twitter, and somebody said, oh, shit, IO tied it. I was like, hold on. Y'all must be talking some other fucking game.
Yep.
They did this against a team like this. We couldn't beat Milwaukee at all. Like, so you got all these times that beating this team. They just beat the Golden State Warriors.
Yep.
You know, and I know the Warriors ain't been playing the best, but the Warriors are
still the Warriors. Warriors. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, now, but these niggas go out and do some shit like they did a week ago, where it's a close game. They up 6 on the Thunder, and these niggas end up losing by 15.
Yeah.
You know, they losing to bum ass teams, and if they
that Thunder's loss was, oh my god, Thunder loss was terrible.
It's like Shea sees the Bulls like 45 on these niggas every time. But it's like the Bulls, if they could just beat the team, they could beat. They would easily be in the top 4 right now.
And that's my problem with them, bro. You go out there and lose that game to the Wizards. You got Kyle Kuzma looking like motherfucking whoever, Ray Allen or some shit. Oh, like, come
Kuzma
on.
Kuzma always looks like Melo against the Bulls. I don't understand.
That's how, what's the name used to be? Amir Johnson or something like that? He used
Amir Johnson.
I think it was Amir Johnson, dog. He used to play for the Pistons. Dog, he used to fry. And I think he ended up going like to Philly or some shit, whatever. But it's always like these weird games. That Rockets game? That Rockets game? I'm going to tell you. That Rockets game almost made me drop my flag with the Bulls, bro. Because I was seriously looking at that game, and I was like, well, this is embarrassing. This is when the game was close. I said, well, this is almost as embarrassing as losing to them by double digits, because we shouldn't even be in a contest with them right now. Like,
you know,
this
why
is the Rockets, and we lost by like 15.
The Rockets don't run any offense. The Rockets play
none. Football. They're playing LA fitness ball, bro. They're playing LA fitness ball. Like, just go get a bucket. Fuck keeping score even. Like, just go get a bucket. Just let's do some cool moves to put on the mixtape. And they beat us by like 15, bro. Like that, bro. That shit was nasty.
And it's like nasty. I feel like I think it's a mental thing. I just don't think they get up for these games. And I'm not an athlete. I don't know why. I don't understand. I would think that you would want to get up more for these easy games so you can sit the fucking fourth quarter out.
Yeah. And also, you're not good enough to play with your food. You are the food. You know that.
That's a good point. We're talking about you're the food. Mediocre teams, they're in the same class as them niggas.
Yeah, because we could damn near make the argument that those contender teams is looking at us like, oh, these little niggas, and that's right. Why we beat exactly. them. Because we looking at the niggas beneath us like, tuck them, and they looking at us like, tuck you?
Yeah.
Like, so exactly. it's nasty, man.
It's Spider-Man meme.
Yeah, like, wait a minute.
Spider-Man meme. That's exactly what it is.
It's nasty, man. It's nasty.
I don't know what it is. And also halftime. I don't know what the fuck Billy be telling these niggas at halftime. Mm. I've never seen a worse third quarter team in my life. Like, these dudes can have like a 15, 16 point lead at halftime. Everybody with a brain know that shit's getting cut down to 3 by
every single time. Every single time. They look disengaged on defense. The offense is really and that's my biggest gripe with the team is defense. Because like watching sports, I think we talked about this like many moons ago. The older I get, the more I get pissed off by bad defense, by like not even trying on defense. Offense is whatever, right? You trying shit. Sometimes the shots ain't falling. It's a make or miss league. I'm not going to hold that to you. As long as you're getting the right, you know, you're getting the right shots up, you're getting the right attempts up, I'm cool with that. Defense, it's really about giving the fuck.
It's effort, man.
And like you said, those third quarters, they treat halftime like they like, man, like, you know how you be at work and be like, man, how much time we got left? Like, shit. And they come out in the third quarter and look like they about to, like you said, they give up a 15, 16 point. It don't matter. It don't matter how much they up by. It's just like it is what it is. They determined to make it a close game no matter what.
They tried their best. They tried their best to let Detroit in it. Detroit back in the Paris game that they were Paris, but the Pistons were playing like they drank wine all fucking night.
And the Bulls looked like they were completely locked in. They was good. They was cracking jokes and the chemistry was up. And I told my man Kev, shout out to Kev. I said, yo, we should beat them by 30 points today, bro. There's no reason we shouldn't absolutely destroy the Pistons. And like you said, you look up and you like, it's all too familiar. Here we go again.
And I give them credit that they tightened up towards absolutely. The end. We'll get into the Paris game and the whole Paris situation in a minute. Mm-hmm. I wanted to actually talk about that. But I want to talk about a guy who you have been, who, you know, you've been very hard on this podcast. A guy who I have been backing up since the moment he became a Chicago Bull. I got to talk about the one, Nikola Vucevic. Now, you know, I think Vooch is in a situation now where when you get a label, that label sticks on you and niggas don't care what you play like, they're going to keep that label. Mm-hmm. People who don't watch Bulls games, and of course, both of us watch Bulls games, but people who don't watch Bulls games still think this nigga's the weak link, the weakest link in the chain. He's not. Yeah. Vooch is actually having a great year. He's averaging 17-11 from the field.
I was about to say, he's damn near 18. He's 17.5 and 11. Yeah, like
17-11, 52% from the field. He just had a career-high 41-point game the other night.
He did.
You know, he's been out there doing his job, and like Stacey King always says, it's a simple game. I don't know. I need to see the exact numbers for this. I want to know the Bulls' record when Vucevic lives in the paint, because I feel like they have a great record when he's not posted up from three. And I feel like we've seen Vooch stray less and less from the three-point line this season, which has given him his success. And what is your play? Because you always say, I want more from Vooch, right? So what do you feel about what Vooch has been giving the Bulls this year?
This is what I wanted. Like, if you notice, you haven't seen me talk about Vooch you haven't seen me say anything about Vooch because he's doing exactly what I've been asking. The only time I ever have a problem with players who I think are good, too great, like that hover around that area, is when they get away from the thing that makes them great in the first place. Like, when you look at Vooch, if you can be in the paint, I don't mind you shooting threes down, you know, or whatever. If you already been dogging in the paint and they so tired of that they willingly, you know, at least give up some room and say, you know what, fuck it, clog the paint. And then you pull up for a jump shot. I'm not with it when you start the game off missing two, three jumpers and then you keep trying it. Like, no, bro, work an inside out game and I'm cool with that. And like you said, this season, that's exactly what's been going on. And like 18 and 11. And this is not like that old, you know, we talked about Andre Drummond, who's I like now because, you know, of his role. But like, this is not
well when it's a good matchup. You'll see sometimes Billy won't play him if it's a bad matchup. But overall, I have not been upset.
I'm cool with it. And you know, when he was in Detroit, a lot of times he would have those big games, 26 points, 26 rebounds, and it wouldn't mean anything. And a lot of times Vooch would have the numbers, and when we watch the game, we like, he had those numbers. But this season, it's like, that 18 and 11 is really making a difference. Like that, he's really. He's really doing his thing. He actually looks better than his numbers does. And that's saying something because his numbers are great. You can get your center out there 18-11. You got a damn good center. Like,
Say he's been the second most impressive Bull outside of DeMar. Because I feel like DeMar.
Absolutely.
And I think this conversation about DeMar, too, because it's not on the rundown. I haven't talked about it. But I personally will re-sign DeMar this offseason.
100%. You have to.
I think DeMar has found like a fountain of youth here in Chicago. And I think that he's going to be one of those Bulls that we look at where I think there's a good chance he can retire a Bull. And when a good mid-range jumper like him, and DeMar's my age. I think DeMar's like 34, a year younger than me, 33, 34. Mm-hmm. And when you have a jumper like him, you can play a long time. Because DeMar got old man game. You know what I'm saying?
Man, his game is not predicated on athleticism and double clutch dunks and all that type of shit. Like, exactly.
So that can be, I would actually pay DeMar a reasonable deal. But you know, with Vooch to me, I would say has been second most impressive for what he's done, especially all the shit he's had to deal with.
I'll go for that
reason, rightfully so too. He said he hasn't let it affect him. He's going out there, he shut up, and he played the game of basketball, better.
He took that criticism and did better. Yeah,
and that's what we need Zach to do.
That's all. That's all I'm asking for is like, if you give me a consistent stretch of all three of those guys playing like we know they can. I'm gonna say something really crazy. Because when I look at the East is good. It can be, you know, really good at times, But I feel like if our big three can get to rolling, I don't see a reason why we can't like get to the finals out of the East, bro. I really don't. Like when Noah's guys are rolling, because they inspired like the other guys. Io gets going, Dragic knocked down a couple joints, you know, Drummond, like we just talked about, he's playing his role. If our big three is clicking like a real big three, I mean, sometimes you look at Boston and you like, damn, like what is these niggas doing? You know what I'm saying?
Like what's going on? If they could give you like 20 a night, all three of them, that's 61 points a night. That's half.
I like our chances against anybody.
Against a lot of people.
Against anybody, bro. Especially in the East. Like the West would get a little tricky because they got a Jokic out there, and that motherfucker ain't nothing to play with. But in the East, yes, I like our chances against anybody in a 7-game series because a lot of the other people, you know, their stars or whatever, like not necessarily inconsistent, but it's just like they can be beat. No team in the East, I think, looks like an absolute juggernaut. There are nights when those teams look like, who's going to beat them? Absolutely.
I mean, the Memphis been playing well, but I'm like I said on my show the other day, until them niggas get legit number two, I'm not.
Yeah, really like you just a lot of these teams in the league that play good, you just waiting for them to come back down to earth.
I'm not worried about Desmond Bane in a 7-game series. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing with a lot of these teams. And like if the Bulls big three can play like a big three, that's 75% of the battle. They can do that every night. And honestly, I think that's what we've seen over this 15-game stretch and why they've been so good over this 15-game
stretch. Keep the defenses honest, bro. No defense can really lock in on one guy or make us do anything we don't want to do. Like, we can really frustrate a lot of teams. We've seen it happen. So, that's the only reason, the only thing that frustrates me about this team is the inconsistency. Like,
I know we sound like a broken record, but if you look at these next couple games, of course, when you listen to this, it will be Monday the 23rd. So tonight they'll be playing the Atlanta Hawks at the crib. Mm-hmm. They have a back-to-back on tooth against the Pacers with no
time. They in a weird spot, Tyler too. Burton. The Hawks in a weird spot,
exactly,
too.
Exactly, you know, but no Tyrese Halliburton for the Pacers. You got that on Tuesday. You got Charlotte, no LaMelo. You got Orlando. You got the Clippers, I cover the Clippers. This is not a good basketball team right now. You know, and you look, then you got Charlotte again. You got Portland. You got a San Antonio. You don't really have a quote-unquote tough game till Memphis on February 7th.
That's February the 7th, yeah.
Need to go out here and win these games, man.
That is the problem right there to bring this full circle. The problem is when you look at this schedule – You know who the opponents are, but you don't know which Bulls team you're going to get night to night. You don't know. You really don't know. Like, you might get a Bulls team that shows up against the Hawks and then comes out against the Pacers, and you're like, oh, this is a walk. No Tyrese Halliburton, they fucking lose. They let somebody put up a career, you know, career night on them or something like that. So it's just weird, man. Like, if I could trust this team to me to just be like, you know what? I ain't even got to watch these games. They're going to win 5 in a row. I'd be in a way better spot. But now I'm looking at every single game, every single quarter, like, please.
They got to prove it to them, man. I feel like I got to see at least 5 to 6 wins in a row against bad to mediocre teams for me to be like, okay, now I think they're turning the corner. Because now it's like, okay, you win 2 in a row, you lose 3 in a row. You win 3 in a row, you lose 5 in a row. Like, it's shit like that. Yeah. And you're just going to be in the same space that you're in for the majority of the season. We passed the halfway mark now. You know, I always say,
and at that point, it's mental.
Exactly.
Yeah, at that point, it's mental because it's like, regardless of how much talent you have on your team, if you look like that against like teams that are just like, you know, not as good as you, bottom of the barrel or whatever, they going through their own shit. You get to the playoffs, man, you just gonna be playing like you happy to be there, and that's gonna get your ass sent home. Yep. That's just what it is. So I mean, I don't know, man. I wish we could have some type of consistency. Like I don't know.
But we gonna see, man. One person who has been consistent is another player we've been criticized on this fucking podcast.
Yes,
Coby White, man. If you look at his numbers, like, and look, he's averaging less points than last year, but he's shooting same percentage. But it's really just been about how he's been playing, you know, to me. Like, and it's beyond the numbers. You know, he had 10 points against the Pistons in Paris. He had a big third quarter where the Pistons were trying to get back in that game. Mm-hmm. He went on like a 10-0 run.
He was knocking
himself.
Shit down. Yeah.
He was knocking things down. Yeah. 15 against Golden State last week, 19 against OKC. Like, he's been putting in good performances, and he's actually been hitting his threes, which is the most important part to me, is he's hitting his fucking three-pointers. And if you have Coby doing that, that opens up a lot of things for you. And now that might – open a trade. I don't know how much you can get, and I really don't even know what the Bulls should get to help this. So at this point, I'm kind of not against keeping Coby.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's like, I don't even think at this point you're going to get somebody who's going to fit what Kobe is bringing to you right now any damn way. So what's your opinion on how Kobe's been playing this season?
Just about the same. I think that we should keep him. And I'm, you know, and it's not because it's like, you know, like you said, he just like playing some hell of a, you know, whatever, like his numbers. But I think he's trying, I think he's finally figuring out his role on his team is to not like, you don't have to go out there and save the day. You know what I mean? Like a lot of times he goes out there and plays and we see the inconsistency because he'll come in there and try to erase a 7-point lead in one possession. And it's like, Kobe, we don't need you to, we just need you to kind of keep, you know, keep them at bay. You know, if we got the lead and, you know, kind of, you know, take smart shots, bro. Like we don't really need you to go out there and try to be fucking
threes, man.
Yeah, that's it. Just hit the shots that they're running, plays for you to get these threes. Like if you could knock down the shots they designed it for you, that's perfect. So I think a little bit of that is like him growing with this team, him understanding his role and him being comfortable. And maybe hopefully Billy and, you know, the guys in the organization are making him feel like or aren't making him feel like every game he's playing for his job. You know what I'm saying? Like we got, you know, IO, we got Dragic, but it's like, bro, we need you too. It's not like a competition necessarily. Like we need all y'all niggas for real because we ain't got Zoe. So we need all y'all in concert to, you know, but shout out to him though, because a lot of players in his position, his skill level would have just like threw the towel in by now. Like, you know what, man, fuck it, man. I'm not as good as these dudes over here, or I'm, you know, whatever. And just, you know, they hold their head or whatever, but he's been playing well. I got to commend that. I really do got to salute that, bro, for real. Cause I know that shit can't be easy looking around being like, damn, I'm fucking up. I'm doing, you know what I mean? So the fact that he's staying in there, he's staying with it. I got to salute it. And like you said, trade value wise, I don't necessarily think if you can trade him, you're going to get somebody that's going to be quote unquote
better.
Like, exactly, yeah. So it's like, you might as well keep him. He's familiar with the offense, familiar with the guys. Like the chemistry is already there. It is.
You know, the thing with the Bulls, the problem with the Bulls' number one issue is something they can fix. It's something that can't be fixed in the trade. The fucking issue is beat the fucking team you're supposed to beat. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the number one issue. Like, it's not a player.
That's why it's so frustrating, bro.
If you even go 500 against the teams you beat, you're easily 10 games over 500 right now.
And that's why every time we talk about the trade deadline and what we need to do, we're always stuck. Like, damn, like, what can we do? Oh, I know. How about the guys we already have? Just stop fucking play.
That's why I think AK and Mark Evans, like, look, you niggas got to play. Like, there's not really anything we can really do with this roster till the offseason. Even offseason, I feel like the Bulls are going to be at a fork in the road. You got to make, you know, I'm not saying like you got to make rebuilds. It's obviously not. But, like, how are you going to make this team better? You know what I'm saying? That's going to be something we have to see. But for right now, it's just really about they have to play better, man. But I want to wrap this episode up with our last topic, the Bulls, the Paris game this week. And by the way, I just want to say it's a massive fail by the NBA to not have this game on ESPN. I understand the Pistons, like, half their team is injured. I get it. But if you have a big Paris game and you're promoting it like that, it should be not on fucking NBA TV.
NBA TV is like VHS, bro. Like, why, bro? Why are we doing this on NBA? Like, why, bro?
Yeah.
Fucking Paris.
Like, it should be on ESPN or something, you know, hype it up better. And I think that I did, like, it looked cool.
It should have been a bigger deal.
Yeah, it should have been a bigger deal. And I feel like it was cool for the Bulls. I think niggas forgot that the Pistons was even there. Like, even, like, when you look at the people in the crowd of the game, it was nothing but Bulls players there. You know, they had the celebrities there. Pharrell was there. Naomi Campbell.
It's like it was in the 90s.
Yeah, Naomi Campbell had on her Bulls off-white jacket. By the way, them jackets look hard. I need me one.
Super hard.
Super hard. Shout out to Don C and everybody over there. But everything was Bulls. It was Bulls with Bulls. You know, of course, you know, they had the Pistons legends. But, you know, funny shit about that was they brought out Rip Hamilton and Ben Wallace, who are also former Bulls. They're also former Bulls, which is the funniest shit about it.
Yeah.
So I think, like, from a presentation standpoint, it also reminded you that the Bulls are one of the strongest brands in sports. That you can see that, you know, that they're still a powerful brand, and a lot of these people still remember everything Michael Jordan in the 90s Bulls did. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time they've been to Paris since the 97-98 season, where the last dance season that we all know. And it was just kind of good to see the brand be embraced and just show you how big it was nationally. Now, globally. Yeah. Now, the game was whatever, but I'm glad the Bulls won.
Absolutely. That's all I was hoping, just win the game.
Yeah. Don't lose to Sadiq Bey and them niggas over, in fucking Paris. You know what I'm saying? But what was your opinion on the whole trip and just how everything, you know, with the Bulls being out there?
I think you touched on one of the most important things is that, like, it was good to see that the Bulls brand is still a global thing. Like, the Chicago Bulls are – they're the Chicago Bulls. Yeah. Like I told you, I'm a fan to this day because of the work they put in back in the day, like, period. That should go a long way with showing this current team, hey, guys, look, people give a fuck about you. You might want to go out there and actually play basketball. That's worth – you know what I mean? Like, let's worth it, imagine what a finals run to do for this Bulls team. Yeah, like imagine what a finals run, win, lose, or draw would do for this fucking team, bro. The finals would be insane.
Finals been gone so long for Chicago, I forgot what that shit feel like. I was fucking
God, 10 years God, old. God, Gatorade tastes like in the finals, man. Right. You know what I'm saying? But my favorite thing about the trip, though, honestly, is seeing the camaraderie, the chemistry, and seeing all the guys just be, you know, like Dalen Terry, you know, he's joking with Zach, and then, you know, DeMar chiming in, and they got that going. I love to see that from this team because of the, you know, the locker room shit or whatever, which, like I said, you put enough men together with a lot of all those egos. An argument is bound to happen. A scuffle is bound to happen. Fuck it. It is what it is. It's professional sports. But I did like to see that. I'm glad that they came out of there with the W, and hopefully that, you know, that shit can trend into, you know, upward from here. Because like you said, the schedule gets a lot easier and there's a chance for us to build some momentum beating up on these lesser teams. Like, it is what it is. You can only play who's on the schedule. Get the wins where you can get them, bro. We are not the top of the food chain. We need every W we can get, period, against whoever. So, you know, but I did like to see that, though. You love to see your team mattering, right? Like, you love to see your team go somewhere else and be like, yeah, you know, like, we really them. But come back over here and do that, too, though. That's all.
Yeah,
that's
come,
all
come back to the fucking West Side. As we know.
Yeah, that's all.
It was cool to see camaraderie between the team, you know, everybody messed with Dalen, and I'll shout out to Jared Jones, he got engaged in Paris.
He did. Shout out to him, man. Hell yeah.
Shout out to Black Love. Like
you damn sure don't want to lose no game after that, nigga. You don't want to go lose no game after that.
And he put on a dunk show, man. He put on a dunk show in that game, man. But it was cool to see, man. Let everybody know that the Bulls are the brand. They just need to fucking win some games. But
that's all.
That's all we got for y'all today, man. Episode 39. We back in 2 weeks. Who knows where the rest of this journey will take us. If you've listened to this podcast this season, it's been more of a I wouldn't even say pessimistic. It's just more of a fed up tone compared to last season.
It's more of a let's see what's going on with these niggas, man.
Yeah, exactly. It's been one of them type tones, man. So the Bulls do have the second easiest schedule left in the NBA. So maybe they turn around. We'll see what's going to happen. So we'll be back in 2 weeks, man. You know, follow me on Twitter at Barbershare Scott. Follow the Barbershare Network at Barbershare Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. Visit the BCNet.com. Mariano, let me know when they get tuned with you.
Oh, man, listen, at Mariano on Twitter, 2 N's, 2 O's. At Mariano Bibbins on Instagram. And before we get out of here, fuck the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, for sure. All day. That's all day. You know, shout out to the Giants, man. Shout out to the Giants for making sure that all of the NFC North is on the same couch at the same time. And we are taking business over 19.
We had to send them frauds home, man.
Send them home. If you want to draft, if you want a quarterback, come pay us. Come pay us.
Price of the brick. I know the price of the brick done went up, man. I know.
Up. We want at least 2 first minimum. If you want Bryce Young, so come pay us, man. But we'll holler at y'all in 2 weeks, man. Y'all enjoy this weekend. Well, actually, by the time you hear this weekend, it'll be over. So enjoy this upcoming week of Bulls basketball, man. So we out of here.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.